Good afternoon and welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on awfradio.com. This segment of the show brought to you by the United Labor Agency. They connect people with employment. 216-666-2185, 666-2185, or you can check them out online at ulagency.org. Let's go to line number one. Welcome one of our regulars. Always enjoy this gentleman who's got so much energy. He's excited about what's happening in the Columbus, Central Ohio area. A lot of building going on, and he's in the middle of it. Dorsey Hager, who is Executive Secretary of the Columbus, Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, Columbus Construction. .org. Once again, the Twitter handle, and you can chime in on this, BuildCentralOH.
BuildCentralOH. We're starting to develop a following on Facebook and Twitter. A lot of good things on there to read about a lot of good things going on in Columbus and Central Ohio. Also, some things going on across the nation labor-wise. So if you have a second and want to check us out, feel free to go and follow us on Twitter and Facebook at BuildCentralOH.
Very good. All right, talk to me about this Building Futures graduation. What's that? What was that all about?
Well, I think about 6 months ago, I came on your show and I talked about this crazy idea that I had to partner with Impact Community Action and Franklin County and come up with a pre-apprenticeship or apprenticeship readiness program that would obviously recruit from the city of Columbus and Franklin County and some of our underserved communities where poverty was at its highest, and try to offer members of that community, an educational experience, a job training experience, where at the end they would have an opportunity to step in right into a building trades apprenticeship program, while along the way removing any barriers that they may have by partnering with Impact and with the county. So maybe if they had issues with child care, maybe they had issues with child support, maybe they had issues with previous incarceration, maybe some minor transportation issues, things like that, helping to get them stable on their feet and on the path to the middle class. Like I said, while removing barriers on the way. And let's be frank, you and I have talked about this, you know, since I've been starting to come on your show. The biggest barrier that most people have coming out of high school or out of college that are looking for a career in the building trades is the inability to work with their hands, read a tape measure, do some construction math, because a lot of that is not being taught in the vocational schools and in the high schools anymore, so they're not getting that hands-on experience. So those are some of the barriers that we're trying to remove. So we came up with the idea, myself and some of our training directors and our partners kind of put pen to paper, came up with a mechanism, put a budget to it. We brought in Bo Chilton and Leland Bass from Impact. They helped us polish it up. We took it to Franklin County, where I will put our three county commissioners up against any county commissioners up anywhere in the state, or any electeds, therefore. John O'Grady, Kevin Boyce, and Marilyn Brown, who are incredibly progressive and proactive. We went through the idea with them, and they basically said, this is great. Let's look at the funding mechanism, and let's get this going. Within a week, we had a resolution. Within 2 weeks, we were recruiting for it. Within 6 weeks, we were starting the class. And 12 weeks later, we have 21 graduates, all who have been placed onto career paths with different building trades unions, either the plumbers and pipe fitters, the electricians, the iron workers, the carpenters, the laborers, or the painters. So out of the 21, we had, you know, six trades that were able to take people and that people had either tested with and or had an affinity for. So, you know, at the beginning of this, we test them and give them an assessment so that way we can put them on a path towards a building trades where they're going to fit up well with and be successful. And then at the end, once they've been exposed to every building trades program, then we take their score, their test score, and also, you know, where their passion is, and we point them in the right direction, and that's where they go. And then we place them on a job site with a contractor and put them on that direct path to the middle class. So we had great success with our first cohort. We celebrated 2 weeks ago with having a graduation for the graduates, their families, some members of the community. Went off great, and it seems like it's a success story. And we're now kind of going through some of the roadblocks or the potholes or the kinks and polishing it up a little bit. We're getting ready to schedule a second cohort that hopefully will start sometime in the middle of May.
That is fantastic. From start to finish, when you started this program to the graduation 2 weeks ago, how long was that time period?
So I think I came up with the idea in early October.
Yeah.
I think I took the idea to the commissioners maybe late October. They did a resolution shortly after that. We started doing outreach and recruiting events, which we do year-round anyway, and we started identifying people that couldn't test right in or walk right into our apprenticeship programs that maybe needed a little help either with math or reading or, like I said, some of this barrier removal. And we pushed them and recruited them towards the Building Futures. So the class started on January 8th. They did 4 weeks of kind of math and reading and some basic job skills and some soft skills. Then they did 6 weeks of building trades core curriculum where we did construction math. We did some blueprint reading, OSHA 10. We had every trade had either their training director or representative come in, talk about the trades. You know, what does an insulator do? What kind of math do you have to have? What kind of reading skills do you have to have? How do you get into our program? What does the pay and benefits look like? What does the work outlook look like? You know, all that stuff. And then after that, there was 2 more weeks of trade-specific training, and then they were placed with a contractor. So it was 12 weeks total, Monday through Thursday, 5 to 8 p.m. So everyone in our program was employed, but they were underemployed. They were looking for a better opportunity, a better job. And so they basically did what our apprentices do. They went to school during the day. They took care of their kids. They took care of their house. They took care of their responsibilities. But then Monday through Thursday, 4 nights a week, 5 to 8, they were either at Impact or at our training center, and they were taking their classes to build up their skills so that when they graduated from the pre-apprenticeship program, they were walking right into a career.
That's fantastic. 3 months' time. Look what you've changed for 21 people in that area of Ohio.
And that's the thing, and I've told a few stories about 12 weeks because obviously it's a pretty rapid ascent when you think about it. When you're taking, you know, somebody who may be, like I said, underemployed 10, 11, 12 bucks an hour, and then they're walking into an apprenticeship where they're making $16, $17 an hour plus a full benefit package. I mean, in 12 weeks you're basically changing the lives and the trajectory of how they provide for their family and the opportunities that exist for their children. And we had a young man, and I'm not going to mention him by name, obviously. We had a young man, and I knew him only from his resume and his application. And I went up and kind of developed a little bit of a friendship with him. And I said, man, I said, you don't have to answer if you don't want to. I said, I'm getting a little personal. I said, but I just got to ask. I said, you have a bachelor's degree here. I said, and you're in this program. And he's like, well, he's like, I want to be a sprinkler fitter. He's like, and I saw that sprinkler fitter, first-year apprentice, makes $16.50 an hour. That's $33,000 a year. He goes, with my bachelor's degree, he goes, I've been unable to find a job paying over $30,000 a year. He goes, and with providing for my family, with student debt, mm-hmm. student loans, he's like, I just can't make it. He goes, I'm just not on the path where I can make it.
How about that? Boy, he's not alone either.
No, and that really, I mean, I don't want to get all sensitive on your show, but that really hit me. I mean,
yeah.
It was amazing to think about that. It was just amazing to think about the situations that we're in, you know, and some opportunities that have been given to us, you know, and that we're all truly, you know, blessed. And it's our job, you know, they say to those who much is given, much is to be returned. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to, you know, we've a lot of us have taken that ladder and got on that path to the middle class. Well, we're trying to make sure that we're holding the ladder for those of us who want to follow. You know, we've talked about it on your show. There's cranes everywhere. There's holes everywhere. There's job sites everywhere. There's buildings going up everywhere. Plus, we've got the baby boomers in our trades getting ready to retire the next 36 to 60 months. If we don't take care of this, if we don't take advantage of this opportunity in Central Ohio, when I mean we, I mean the community partners, the electeds, the county, the city, and the building trades in our programs. If we don't take advantage of this opportunity, we're doing a huge disservice to our community, our city of Columbus, and Franklin County.
Oh, yeah.
This is a hell of an opportunity.
It's downright foolish if you don't take advantage of it. It really is. It really is. Well, you know, you bring that story up about that one individual. I told you the story about my brother-in-law's kid. He went to, I think it was Bowling Green, and he got a degree. It was like filmmaking or something. I mean, okay, there's not that many jobs available in filmmaking, and he was struggling. All of a sudden, he comes across a program dealing with becoming a welder. He loves being a welder today. it's very similar to the story you just brought up.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's the funny thing about the class, too. A lot of, you know, like I said, everybody that started in the class was employed in some form or another, but they were underemployed. They were looking to better themselves. And on the first night of class, I said, you know, what does everybody want to be? And they wanted to be a plumber or an electrician, because a lot of them, that's all they knew. But then when other trades started to come in, you know, like I said, you had people that wanted to be an iron worker. You had people that wanted to be a laborer and work on heavy highway. You had people that wanted to be, you know, an electrician. You had people that wanted to be a painter. So it really, really worked out. And let's not, you know, I'll be honest with you. The benefits for the building trades we just talked about a little bit are huge, too. You know, I came out of a business manager's role. I was a business manager for 12 years. And you think of a business manager or a training director, what this program is providing for him or her and their local union, you're getting somebody who's going to have all their barriers removed. Like I said, whether it's child support, whether it's health care, whether it's some family issues, previous incarceration, whatever, all that stuff is going to be taken care of. They're going to have OSHA 10, safety shoes, all their safety training gear. They're going to have their first year tool kit, whatever trade they identify with. They're going to have all their tools to get them through the first year of their apprenticeship. They're going to have a Carhartt jacket so they can work in the elements like we have today. They're going to have a hard hat and all their, like I said, safety equipment. They're going to be drug tested. They're going to have all that. So on day one, when they step out of that program and they identify, you know, with a building trades program, they're going to be ready to go to work. So think about what that building trades program is getting, that finished product, and what that contractor is getting. It just makes it better for us, because this is industry driven, and it makes us more competitive, and also provides, you know, an opportunity for people within the city and within the county to, like we said, get on that path to the middle class.
That's what it's all about, pathway to the middle class, the declining middle class. This is one way to turn that around. All right, Dorsey, I got to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to get into the Hilton Hotel expansion announcement, and we'll talk a little bit about politics, getting involved in the races. Dorsey Hager on our live line. He's with the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. You can find him online at columbusconstruction.org. Andy Kroll of Mother Jones Magazine is going to be joining us in a little bit. He's going to talk about that Facebook debacle. All part of America's workforce. Back in a few minutes. Don't go away.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
For over 20 years, organized labor has turned to the BMA Media Group for its communications and events needs, because the BMA Media Group knows how to positively impact labor's issues and spread the union message. The BMA Media Group is a union marketing, public relations, production, and events firm. So BMA Media knows what it takes to market union value for you. To learn how the BMA Media Group can assist your labor organization, just visit www.bmamedia.com.
You won't find more comprehensive coverage of the issues most important to Ohio's labor trades than in the pages of the Labor Citizen. The full-color tabloid is delivered to thousands of union construction workers each month, providing reports from local unions, interesting feature stories, and news that impacts Ohio's union construction industry. But the only way this valuable monthly publication can be delivered to your mailbox is if your local union decides to join. If your building trades union membership is not receiving the Labor Citizen, ask why at your next regular meeting, or send an email to info@laborcitizen.com.
Welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on awfradio.com. Let's go back to line number one, rejoin Dorsey Hager, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Talk to me about, you know, we were mentioning at the top of the show about what's going on in the Central Ohio area, a lot of building, and there's one in particular I know you want to address, and that's the expansion of the Hilton Hotel.
Yes, we have it's really the crown jewel of downtown Columbus. It's right by the convention center. the Hilton Hotel, which has 600 rooms. So they're looking at doing an expansion of that and adding a 22-story tower. It's going to have restaurants and shops, obviously an outdoor pool, things like that. It's going to add over 400 rooms to the Hilton, giving us the only property downtown with 1,000 rooms, which is going to help put us in another classification when it comes to being able to attract events and also conventions for our downtown convention center. So this tower, when it's completed, it's going to give the Hilton over 1,000 rooms. It's going to be about $195 to $225 million. They're still in the design phase. They're not totally sure what the price tag is going to be, but I think it's going to be right around the $200 million range. At the peak, it'll create about 400 construction jobs. And then it'll create all those jobs also, maintaining the Hilton and working down at the Hilton and stuff. But like I said, the biggest thing, and this is the conversations I've had with Brian Ross, who sits on the Convention Center Authority with me, and he's the head of Experience Columbus, so it's his job to go out and help get all these events and things to fill this convention center. It just gives him another tool in his tool pouch, another property to be able to sell for when we bring these events in. And, you know, last weekend we just hosted the women's final four, and not just Brian Ross from Experience Columbus and some of the electeds like Mayor Andy Ginther and stuff, but two people I really have to give a shout out to, and they have to be very close friends of mine. Patrick Klein, who's the associate head coach at The Ohio State University women's basketball team, and his brother, Zach Klein, the former city council president, who's now Columbus City attorney. And also, by the way, many people do not know this, is a Division I women's basketball official and has done that for 12 years now. They were very instrumental in selling the city of Columbus, because Columbus is a great sports town, and getting us the opportunity to host the women's Final Four. And I remember a few years ago when Zach was making that track over at Indianapolis and giving his pitch to the NCAA, and he was successful, and we were able to host this event. It went off without a hitch. It was a great event. I mean, you're there in Cleveland, so I know you guys have hosted great events as well. The World Series, you know, the Republican Convention and stuff, and other sporting events, the NBA Finals. And you know, when you host a sporting event, there's two things you can't control. You can't control the weather, and you can't control the games. So unfortunately, the weather wasn't all that great, but the games were incredible. Both semifinal games went into overtime, first time in the history of the Women's Final Four that had happened. And Notre Dame, the national champion, came back in the semifinal and in the championship game, in both games, from down more than 10 points. That's the first time that's ever happened in the Women's Final Four, where the champion came back in both games from down more than 10 points to win both games and be crowned the national champion. So, incredible weekend, a lot of buzz down here, a lot of people enjoyed it, and it really helped expose and get more exposure for the city of Columbus, Franklin County, and the whole market down here, including the convention center, downtown hotels, and Nationwide Arena.
When are they projecting that hotel to be complete with 1,000 rooms?
Looking at 2021.
Okay.
So I think that might be a little aggressive. We'll see. I mean, like I said, still in the design phase. They're working out some things. Of course, they're getting a lot of input from Hilton themselves and from people around the city and the community. But we're looking at the design to be done by the summer, the initial bids to be awarded probably in November, and then break ground shortly after that. So, but hopefully 2021 will be the completion.
Yeah, they're a class operation. I mean, you saw the Hilton here.
It's incredible.
Next to the...
Incredible.
Which came under budget. Once again, all union, under budget. Can I say that again?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's going to be, this one in Cleveland is 600 rooms, and yours is going to be 1,000. Boy, that's a big hotel.
And you know, because of your relationships you have downtown too, but that's one of the biggest, I don't want to say negatives, but that's one of the biggest things that people say when you start trying to bring Columbus up to a Cleveland or a Las Vegas or a Chicago when it comes to hosting events and conventions. You know, people that belong to these different groups that come, they want themselves and all their participants to be able to stay on one property. They don't want them to be spread out over a couple of different properties. And this gives Brian Ross from Experience Columbus, and this gives the city of Columbus that tool.
Okay, just a couple minutes left here. You want to touch on some races? I know you've been getting involved politically. This is going to be a big year, no doubt about it.
huge year. Like we were talking about the building futures, you know, back to the county commissioners, John O'Grady and Kevin Boyce and Marilyn Brown, they have the progressive and the foresight and the vision, you know, to understand that job training and job creation and path to middle class is important, but you also have to have the jobs to do that. So, you know, the phase one of the jail, which has just started, is about $160 million. It's under a project labor agreement. Phase two, they just approved funding for that, which is going to be $260 million. And their thing there is that, you know, we want building trades, union building trades people on that project. We want people who are in or have graduated from joint apprenticeship training programs. We want the most skilled to build these projects because these are the people that can get them done on time and safely and under budget. But also we want people that are working on our projects that are making a good wage, health care benefits, and pension. And that's what they've done. And we try to help them out as much as they fight for us. And Marilyn Brown, one of the commissioners, is on the ballot again this year for reelection. Myself and the vice president of our council had a great meeting with her in my office last week. We talked about her campaign coming up. We want to get involved early to really help her out, and that's what we're going to do. Also, what we're doing and members of my council are doing is we're starting to identify some of these people that are in these statehouse races that are in these heavily contested primaries, and if they're pro-labor candidates, whether they're Republican or Democrat, we're trying to get our members involved. We're trying to get their names out in newsletters so our members make sure that they vote for them and that our members get out and they support those candidates. And Larry Householder, who's a state rep from Perry County, has done a great job helping me identify a lot of those people, whether it's Tim Barhorst in Northeast Franklin County, who's got a tough primary, who's a great pro-labor candidate, or whether it's Eric Yasinoff, who's running for Jimmy Hughes's seat. Jimmy Hughes, no bigger friend of ours in the state house for labor and organized labor than Jimmy Hughes, or whether it's Stu Harris, or whether it's Tracy Richardson, the person who's going to be my next state rep, replacing Dorothy Polanda. We're trying to get out. We're trying to identify these candidates and see who the ones that we should be supporting. And if there's ones that need educated on our issues, prevailing wage, project labor agreements, right to work, I'm doing that as well, where I'm meeting with them, I'm talking through the subjects, I'm giving them materials and leave behind so that way they can read upon it, educate themselves, and then they usually touch back with me. We follow up, we go over everything, go back and forth, email, phone calls, any questions they have. So it's been a constant ongoing process, but it's been one that I've enjoyed because we're starting to get to meet some of these people that are going to be in the state house after the first of the year. And it's nice to meet them before they get in there and start laying the groundwork on the issues that are important to organize labor in the working class of Columbus and Central Ohio and the whole state, instead of doing it after they get elected. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to be proactive.
There you go. That's what you got to do. All right, Dorsey, you keep up the fight. You're doing a good job down there, no doubt about it. Lots happening. Every time we pick up the phone to call you, there's something new going on, and you're right in the middle of it. No doubt about it.
Well, I appreciate that, Flash. And I tell you what, grab the glove, grab the hat, grab the ski mask and the snow shovel. Enjoy opening day in Cleveland. There's no other way. So cold air off the lake, snow flurries can only mean one thing: Indians baseball.
There you go, buddy.
So, and hopefully next time we talk, we'll be talking about the Cavs and the playoffs, and we'll be talking about what a tremendously awesome draft that the Cleveland Browns had.
Well, let's keep our fingers crossed on that last one, buddy.
Exactly. Thank you so much. Have a good weekend and enjoy opening day, Flash. Go Tribe.
All right, buddy. Dorsey Hager, Columbus Central Ohio Building Trades. Quick break. Andy Kroll, Mother Jones Magazine, talking about Facebook. You are listening to America's Workforce.